finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you tonight, Lord, I need your help. God, speak to your people through the word of God tonight, Lord. Help me to be a tool to be used by you to accomplish your purpose in this time. Lord, meet with us now. Change us by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we know that the seventh day of creation was not a day of activity, but it was a day of rest. Now, let me establish some things here that I think will help us understand the message tonight. First of all, we need to establish and understand the fact that rest, physical rest, was not, is not, and never has been, and never will be necessary for God to be able to accomplish his purposes. God does not dwell within a physical body of flesh. Rest is not necessary for him. Therefore, we can understand, based on that knowledge, that what God was doing here was for our benefit and not for his own. Let me reiterate that. God didn't rest on the seventh day because he was so tired from the other 6 days. God rested on the seventh day to paint a picture for us, to create a pattern, a type, if you will, by which we could understand what we need to do to be able to accomplish what God has set forth for us to accomplish. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, this seventh day, also known as a Sabbath day, it is a very interesting thing throughout Scripture. All throughout Scripture, the Old Testament, the Sabbath was reiterated over and over and over again. And even beyond Scripture, the Jewish customs there, the Hebrew people added a whole bunch of other rules to the Sabbath day. It was something that really became a burden to them. They were so intent on keeping that Sabbath day sanctified that they went all the way to the point where they came up with a whole book of rules, a whole rule book concerning the Sabbath day, hundreds of ordinances and rules in each town that you would go into, and each temple community that you would go into would have different rules and different things. There were some towns that you could go into in Jerusalem there and in Israel in the day that Jesus was alive. There were some towns that you could go into that you could tie a string to the front doorpost of your house and tie the other end of it to your foot. And as long as you walk, you could walk anywhere you wanted to in town, as long as your body was tethered to your home, then you weren't technically walking on the Sabbath day. Because they said to walk around town was to work. There were some towns that you could go into the way that you could overcome the Sabbath day rule was to take a stake and mark off the distance of how far you went, and then the next week you could go twice as far as you went from that state to the next state, and so on and so forth. There were some towns that certain things could happen on the Sabbath day that would override that, this, that, or the other. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? The Sabbath day was something that they were so afraid of that on a practical level, they had to figure out ways to keep from overstepping that boundary. Here's what the Jewish mindset was based on what the way that they understood the Old Testament. If I do anything strenuous on the Sabbath day, which for them was on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, by their measure, if I do anything strenuous on that day, then I have slighted God. Because the Sabbath is supposed to be a day of rest. Now understand this. I'm what you call a Nine Commandments Christian. Say, what do you mean, preacher? I believe Jesus upended one of them ten while he was on earth, and that was the Sabbath commandment. Because Jesus reiterated that thing and changed it up to where the church wouldn't be involved in the Sabbath, but they would meet on the first day of the week as opposed to the seventh day of the week. And he kind of uninstalled that Sabbath mentality, but it still pervades. How many of y'all have ever heard somebody say something like this? You ain't supposed to do that on Sunday. That's the Sabbath day. I've heard it all. I've heard you ain't supposed to play ball on Sunday. You ain't supposed to drive a car on Sunday. You ain't supposed to ride a bicycle on Sunday. You ain't supposed to wash your clothes on Sunday. All this different. I've heard all of it. And all of that, here's the problem with all of that. It is all designed to keep you from slighting God by doing something that really don't have nothing to do with God. We have defeated the purpose of what God designed for us right here in Genesis chapter number 2. So I want to show you some things about the Sabbath that I believe will help your understanding of it. That'll help you understand how this affects you in your life. First of all, I want you to see this. The Sabbath, this day of rest, did not override the responsibilities of the work. Look at verse number 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and how much? All, the host of them. Verse number 2, the end of the verse, he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. He said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that before God took a day of rest, he made sure that everything that he was supposed to have done in that time frame was taken care of. The Sabbath did not override the responsibilities of the work. See, here's what we do. We like to use the Sabbath as an excuse to get out of things that we should have already taken care of. We say, well, I can't do that today. It's the Sabbath. I got to rest. I can't cut the grass today. I know it's knee high and blowing seeds everywhere, but I can't do that today because it's Sunday. I got to rest. Or if you're into the Sabbath mentality, it's Saturday. It's the Sabbath day. I got to rest. I can't go there. I can't do. I think Christians do some of the most funniest things to me, and it always tickles me. I've heard many a preacher. Preach and push on the fact that you ain't supposed to do no work on the Sabbath day, but every one of them will go to a restaurant after church and eat from the hand of somebody that's getting paid to serve them at their table on the Sabbath day. Now, I was born at night, but it won't last night. That don't make no sense. So it's okay for you to work, but it ain't okay for me. I'll tell you what God did. Before he went, entered into a time of rest, he made sure that the work was done. Understand something, Christian. We have responsibilities. We have things that we need to get done. Men, you got a responsibility to your family. Amen? Women, you got a responsibility to your family. You got responsibilities in your life. You got things that's got to get done. And if you don't get them done, they ain't going to get done. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You got places you got to go, things you got to do. And listen, if your day of rest has to take a back seat to the work, understand something. God didn't rest until he got through working. Work ethic is a missing piece of the generation that we're living in, because they have become so focused on the rest part that they've not understood that you really can't rest right until you've gotten the work done. I'll say it like this. If we would accomplish our goals properly, sometimes we're going to have to work more. Sometimes we're going to get to rest more. Sabbaticals, understand, and we'll get into this in a minute, but the sabbatical times are seasonal. Understand, when I say the word sabbatical, I'm talking about Sabbath times. They're seasonal. Sometimes you're going to work more, and sometimes you're going to get to rest more, but we'd rest a whole lot easier if we knew we had everything handled that we were supposed to handle. It'd be a whole lot easier for us to rest if we utilize the time that was not a time of rest to accomplish what we need to accomplish. The Sabbath didn't override the responsibilities of the work. Jesus asked the question, we can get to Mark 2 in just a minute, but Jesus asked the question when he healed the man with the withered hand in the temple. He asked the question, he said, if you had a sheep and it fell into a pit, or an ass and it fell into a pit on the Sabbath day, would you not get it out? Sure you would. It's got to be done, right? If a man's standing in front of you with a withered hand and you got the ability to heal him, that's just as important. Jesus said, is not this man more important than a sheep? Hey, y'all. Sometimes there's things more important than our rest. I know we don't like to hear that. I know we don't like that. But I'm telling you, there's some things that are more important than our rest. Your responsibility to your family is more important than your rest. You know what I learned a long time ago about being a daddy? Daddies, y'all go with me right here. I work a lot. I come home tired, wore out. Some days more than others. And you know what I learned? And I've told a lot of young fathers this, what I'm fixing to tell you. I learned this about my family. I love my wife. I love my girls. But sometimes I come home wore out. I've been working hard all day. It's hot outside. And you know what? They don't care. They don't care. You know why? Because they've been sitting there waiting for you to get home. And there's things that's got to be done. I ain't just talking about work, like the things got to be fixed around the house. I'm talking about your youngin's got to be. I tell you what your youngin needs, Daddy. Your youngin needs you to show them some love when you get home. Interact with them a little bit. Mama's, same thing here. But you don't understand, preacher. I need my rest. I do too, but I don't always get it. Because sometimes there's things more important. God placed a priority on the work. He didn't start. I'm trying to get off this right here, but hear me. He didn't start the rest till the work was done. We live in a generation that doesn't understand that it takes a certain amount of work to get where you want to be in life. They want to be there at the beginning. That's because they have a misunderstanding of the relationship between work and rest. And I tell young boys at school all the time, these teenage boys, they're growing, they've got their plans, what they're going to do. I tell them, work in your 20s, make your money then. Make your life there. You may not make the money till you get in your 30s, but you can make a basis for it with hard work, sweat, equity, while you're still young and your body can handle it. I'm telling the truth. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. And then later on down the road, you can rest. Rest will come as a result of the work. But if we don't get the work done, the rest time never comes.
The Sabbath didn't override the responsibilities of the work. Number two, I want you to see this. The Sabbath was not given to be a burden.
This is where the Jews messed it up about the Sabbath.
The Sabbath was not instituted for the purpose of being a burden. Rest is a gift
from God. Mark chapter 2, verse number 27, here's what Jesus said about it. He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Rest was instituted to benefit us. We were not instituted to benefit the day of rest. Don't get it twisted right here. The Sabbath is for you, but you weren't designed just to have a Sabbath. There's other things that's got to be done.
We were designed to have periods of rest, but hear me out, church,
because here's where we mess it up. I'm getting down to it here. Here's what I see in most people's lives concerning Sabbath. I'm not just going to say Sabbath days. I'm going to say Sabbath time. Sabbatical. I call it a sabbatical lifestyle. I just came back from a 4-day sabbatical. I let somebody else take care of this, and I went. You know how much I thought about all this while I was in my sabbatical time? Not much. Only when somebody called me and I had to answer a question. For the most part, you know what we did? Sat on the couch and stared at the wall and in silence for about 4 days. Walked up and down the streets in Moorhead and just looked. Here's where we get it wrong. We think that we have to figure out a way to jam a moment of rest into our rigid schedule. But I would say tonight, I would submit to you that if your schedule is not designed to give you periods of rest, you need to redesign your schedule.
Let's hear me out right here. The ability to rest is a gift that we've been given to compensate for the burden of the work that we must accomplish.
That's why when you take a new job, they tell you after you've been here a year, we'll give you a week of vacation. Mm-hmm. Amen. Where do you think that come from? Mm-hmm. You stay, you hang around here for a while, show us you're willing to work, and you'll earn some time off of here. But we don't do nothing else in our life like that. We think, well, this is what we say now. I deserve some time off. Yeah. No, friend, you earn time off or you ain't going to get it.
Mm-hmm. Rest is a gift, and the Sabbath was not given to be a burden.
Our viewpoint of this Sabbath, this sabbatical, can become negative. I know preachers right now. I'm not kidding you. I know preachers right now been 4, 5, 6, 7 years since they've been on vacation with their family. And here's what they say to me. I need to be at the church. The church needs me. No, it really don't. Not to that extent. I'm going to be honest with you. I learned that real quick. With this church and my pastor, thank God for a good pastor that told me, hey, you got to take some time for you and your family. You know what? I wasn't here Sunday. You know, the thing's still standing. I think some of these people think a little too highly of themselves might be the problem. But hey, listen, it ain't just preachers. I know a lot of people that work their life away at a job while their family suffers. They don't have no relationship with their kids, with their family. And I used to work for a big corporation. And every time I ever put down a vacation, I had to have a conversation with somebody higher up the food chain than me about how bad they needed me to work. You know what I learned to tell them? I hate that. I hope y'all make it. You know what I learned when I left that corporation? It didn't bother them a lick. Didn't change nothing. I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to take stock of our lives and understand that God designed us not only with an ability to rest, but with a need for rest. Not just with an ability, but with a need to rest. And every once in a while, and I'll tell you this, I've learned this, if you design your life in a sabbatical pattern, you'll accomplish a whole lot more on the working day.
Some of us, our battery's been dead for a long time because we ain't put it on the charger. You'd be amazed. I'm telling you. I hope this is helping somebody tonight. I hope I can encourage you just a little bit. You would be amazed what 3 days somewhere away from home with your family would do. Husbands, hear me out. I know this ain't always easy to do, but I'm telling you right now it can be done because I'm living it. You'd be amazed what 2 days somewhere a long ways away from here with your spouse would do for your marriage. Every once in a while. You'd be amazed what'll come out in those moments, in those times when the pressure's off. The Sabbath wasn't given to us to be a burden. It's a gift. It's a gift. You have the ability to rest, so take advantage of it. The Sabbath didn't override the responsibilities of the work. Listen,
we got to be real careful right here. We're not superstitious. We're believers. There's a difference. Say, preacher, do you think it's okay to play ball on Sunday? I think if a person who is right with God, who is secure in their relationship with God, chooses to do a certain activity on any day of the week, that's an issue that's between them and God that don't have nothing to do with me. You say, but preacher, what if they start missing church all the time? Hey, listen, I hate it. I don't like it, but they don't answer to me. Listen,
the Sabbath was not given to be a burden, but here's why I'm going to give you this. I'm almost done.
The Sabbath is serious business.
Twice it says in these verses that he rested from all his work. That was the pattern of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was not 3 hours in the afternoon sitting around on the couch. He took a day
and rested from all the work.
Check this out. A physical day off is not necessarily the same as a mental day off.
See, a lot of times we carry all the burdens of the work days into our Sabbath days.
And we wonder why we can't get no rest. A Sabbath is not always easy for us to accomplish. Certainly, in our culture, a weekly Sabbath is not easy for us to accomplish. Let me give you a prime example. I am a pastor. Sunday, this is going to mess up somebody's theology right here, but hear me out. Sunday is not a Sabbath day for me. It's not. It never has been. You know what I do on Sunday? I work all day long. Sometimes I'm here from 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Sunday is not a Sabbath day for the preacher. I don't understand how a preacher preached to his people, don't lift a finger on Sunday, and he's literally doing the job that they pay him to do while he's saying that on Sunday. Don't make no sense. The truth is, hear me out. I'm just speaking about me. Maybe it'll help you. The truth is, there's a lot of weeks that don't come with a Sabbath day for me. I'm just like the rest of y'all. The week we're in right now ain't going to have no Sabbath day for me. The next 4 days of my life, I'm going to be running like I'm on fire. It's just the reality of it. You say, how do you deal with that, preacher? By the way, I know this ain't my normal shower out, all that stuff, but hear me out right here. I'm teaching tonight. How do you deal with that, preacher? Well, here's what I do. I have to install purposeful times, Sabbath, sabbatical times, to make sure that I have that part of my relationship with God in my life. Because without it, your relationship with the Lord will suffer. I have to intentionally install these times of rest. Say, why is it so important, preacher? I'm closing up. Look at verse number 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Why is the Sabbath so important, preacher? Because it is a blessing from God. Not only is it a blessing from God, he said it was a sanctified blessing. That means a set apart. There's nothing else like it. It is set aside specifically to be a blessing to us. And so many of us are missing out on this great blessing that God has designed for us to have. Many, many Christians are missing out on the blessing of the Sabbath, the blessing of rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then he turned right around and contradicted himself. I said, preacher, what are you talking about? The next words out of his mouth was this: take my yoke upon you. Yoke and rest
don't go together. But can I tell you something? You're going to be yoked up with something. Here's what Jesus said about his yoke. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And you shall find rest for your soul. Christian, if we'll drop some of the weight that we placed upon ourselves from this world and take the yoke of Christ, the yoke of liberty, the yoke of freedom, the yoke of earnest relationship and love, then we will be. It will give us the freedom and liberty to design a life that has times of rest in it. Now, see, most folks are afraid to preach stuff like this because, well, what if everybody in church goes on vacation on the same day? I hope you do. Listen, if you ain't took a vacation with your family in 2 or 3 years, listen to me. I got a benevolence fund. You need to leave out of this. You need to leave Wilson County with your family and take a minute to take stock of your life in a setting that is not filled with the pressures of your day-to-day life. Because you're missing so much. But preacher, I done said, the work's got to be done to make time for the rest. There's things you got to do. You have a responsibility to be faithful to church. The church says amen, right?
Amen.
Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know if y'all turn on the news lately, but I see the day approaching.
Amen.
So, yeah, you have responsibilities. If all you ever do is Sabbath and don't never worship God in the midst of all that, yeah, that's a problem. But I tell you what, if you get your spiritual house in order and install some rest times in your life, I won't have to tell you stuff like that. You won't go missing. For you, congregation, church is supposed to be a time of rest. A time where you worship and rest in the Lord. To an extent it is for me as well. But I have responsibilities that go along with that. But one of the things that I do, I'm closing. But I'm just going to end with this. One of the things that I do personally, being in the ministry, I have specific things on my calendar that are for rest with my family, and then I have specific things on my calendar that are for spiritual rest. Brother Brian knows about this. Every year, between Christmas and New Year's, I go to a little church called Turkey Cove Baptist Church, way up above Marion, North Carolina, right outside of a town called Little Switzerland. When you turn on the road that Turkey Cove Baptist Church is on, about 10 minutes from the church, you look at your phone, you might as well throw it out the window because it's useless. It's a good paperweight at that point. And for 4 days, a whole bunch of God's people that's been working hard in the ministry all year get together and just worship God and recharge for the year ahead. You know, it's probably an inconvenience for me to do that every year, but it's worth it. It's worth it. By the way, I just want to say right here before I quit, thank God for a church that puts value on the preacher being able to not be in the pulpit every service of every week of every month of every year. I know preachers that ain't got that. They can't go on vacation because if they're not in their place, they're going to have a boat of mouth meeting on. Thank God, y'all, because y'all had voted me out a long time ago. But I tell you what, wouldn't be right for me as a pastor to celebrate that and then tell you it ain't okay for you to have Sabbath in your life. The sabbatical lifestyle is a spiritual lifestyle, and it will benefit you spiritually. Jesus, at every junction of his earthly ministry, you know what he did? He went and found a place of rest.
You say, why would he do that, preacher? Because he was tired. John 4, one of my favorite passages, because it says that Jesus, being wearied from his journey, sat down on Jacob's well. Man, if Jesus knows what it feels like to be weary in the flesh, don't you think he's got some grace for you when you get weary in your flesh? He's been touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Sometimes we need to just rest from all the work that's laid out for us to do. Sometimes we just need to have a Sabbath. Let's pray. Father.